And I know you've heard it said before, the more you read, the more you know. But you got to be careful what you read. You got to take some things with a grain of salt. Be careful. The only thing you don't have to worry about error is reading this. But everything else is subject to have an error. But this book right here, I read it. I read the transcript before it was wrote, and he wanted me to do that and tell him what I thought. And I said, man, every American citizen needs to read this book. They sure do. Now you can open your Bibles, please, to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I was, of course, at that preacher's meeting yesterday. It's the Tennessee Valley Independent Baptist preacher's meeting. They come up with those names. It started in after 2000, and then there's the one over around called the North Alabama Southern Tennessee North Alabama Southern Tennessee Independent Meeting, and that spells nasty. And they used to say, "We're going to the nasty preachers meeting." You know, they're full of corny jokes. I didn't come up with that; they did. They said, let's go to the first time they warned me, let's go to the nasty preacher's meeting. I said, I don't like the sound of that. And then they told me what it was. I said, okay, I'll go. We're in 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Father, help us a little bit. For a little while, I pray we'll be given like the old timers always said, we'll have undivided attention. And I'll be sensitive to that myself as we open the Word of God this morning. Now, there's some more verses that I'd like to read to you. Okay, we begin this morning. 2 Timothy 4. I charge thee therefore for God and Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. That's what we want to talk about today, is the preaching of the Word of God. I sort of prepped it a while back, and now we're going to go a little further with it, and that's just what God's got in mind for me to do, and I really want to obey the Lord. If I don't, I'm up here on my own, and I guarantee you, I don't want to be on my own in this place, the sacred desk. Brother Gary Munson preached yesterday, and he did a wonderful job, and he was talking about the holiness of the believer and how revival can come, and it'll come through praying and preaching. That's how revival will come. And I don't know about you, but I'm in a constant need of revival. If I get revived one day, I need to get revived another day. I'm in a constant need of revival and to be revived. And in this hot weather, I don't know it. I don't know if it's working on you, but it sure worked on me, sort of drained me. And so I think it's going to be a little more pleasant maybe tomorrow than in the low 80s. But anyway, it physically drains one thing, but being spiritually drained is a whole different thing. And we have to be renewed in the spirit and refreshed and revived. We have to be that. Now, concerning preaching of the Word of God, I'll read a couple of verses too. You can look them up later. This is in Amos chapter 8 and verse number 11. Behold, the days come. By the way, just hold that. Behold, the days come. Now, you got your Bibles in 2 Timothy 4, right? I'm not going to ask you to turn to every place, but I want you to look in chapter 4, 2 Timothy, verse number 3, the first four or five words. For the time will come. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. For the time will come. And in Amos chapter 8, verse number 11, behold, the days come. And I want you to understand, in Timothy, he said, for the time will come. For the time will come. And Amos said in verse 11, behold, the days come. And I'm saying they're here. That's where we are. What they prophesied is what we're experiencing right now. The time will come. Behold, the time will come. Behold, the days come. And Timothy said, the time, Paul says, the time. It's the time and it's the day. That means right now, this day, at this time, the days are here. Saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but the hearing of the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea and from the north, even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it. You know why? Because there ain't no preachers preaching. Because wherever a real preacher's preaching, he's preaching the word of God. And I don't know about you, but it looks like to me they're saying the time's going to come when they wish they could find a preacher that would preach the word of God. How important it is. I'll tell you what, it means heaven or hell for the unbeliever. And for the believer, it means everything to keep him in line and to feed him and to encourage him. You know what the word of God means to you. For man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out from the mouth of God. It's food for you. Spiritual food. Not a psychology message. I'm not happy that I had a degree in psychology. I'm not happy with that. Don't get the wrong idea. My daughters always say, somebody, are you using psychology on me, Daddy? That ain't what psychology is. That's tricking people. That's conning people. And I'm not happy about that, but you know I did it because all my other Bible subjects, to get a minor degree, some of them subjects I didn't even have, they overlapped. And if you know what I'm talking about, I didn't have to. You know, if I took history, I'd be slap crazy right now trying to remember 10 million dates, and that's the wrong way to teach history, not with dates, but with substance. Not a psychology message, getting everybody to cry and everybody to laugh, everybody to sympathize. No, not to give an invitation to this cause that can be mechanically used to get people to come to the altar. If the Holy Ghost of God don't convict a person to come to this altar, don't even come up here. Don't do it to put on, and you don't. I know you don't do it to put on a show, but I'm going to tell you why. This is called the mourner's bench. And people used to come to an altar, the mourner's bench, because they were mourning for their lost loved ones to be saved, and they're good as dead and in hell if they're not saved. And we've lost that. It's been a long time. I've been to this, seen this altar before when y'all leave and it's wet with tears. And it's been a long time. So anyway, not a pie in the sky. Not a pie in the sky. What does that mean? Well, send me. In other words, you know, if you listen to my message, you'll get rich. Boy, just I wish you could give me. Well, some of y'all already are rich, so anyway, we're all rich compared to some countries I've been in. Pie in the sky, send me $100 and sow a seed, and it will flourish you. You'll be greatly successful. Right. Hey. It can be there's a famous Hispanic preacher down there somewhere that said, give me some money. You know, he's high in the sky preacher. That's what we call him. I mean, you know, preacher terminology. So that man business only on phones, on gifts. He said, if you'll just send me some money, everything, your business will be good, everything will be good. That man lost his business, he lost his house, he lost everything he had. He went to that preacher and said, hey, what about it? He said, you just have enough faith. And he didn't give him his money back. Why? I'd like to hang him. I'd pull the rope. I'd pull the crowd filler on him right now. Then you got to put the crowd, please. Whatever. Whatever. You know, it's maybe different in politics, whatever the people are for and the masses. You got to be careful with democracy. We're a republic. You know, Switzerland, I think, is a pure democracy, and anything goes. We got to have competent people, and you know that, to interpret the God help us, I don't want to get on that, to interpret the Constitution. And it was never, it's not in the Constitution, it's not there, separation of church and state, it's not in the Constitution. I believe it was Benjamin Franklin that had wrote a letter to some place and they read it, people started talking about it, but it's not in the Constitution. The believers, because one of the reasons we're in the shape we're in is because believers do not push what they believe and lobby, and they don't get into politics, and you should. If God's prompting you to do that, my son-in-law is a chairman of the Republican committee there, Justin, in three counties in North Carolina. Pray for him. He's under a lot of pressure. Do you know in Silva, North Carolina, within 10 minutes of where my children live up there, you know it's sodomite field. From Nashville, North Carolina, it's creeping into those little towns and they're taking over. And there's Justin right in the middle of it. Crowd, please. Whatever you want to hear. I know a preacher, friend of mine, he's with another flavor. He's on another channel, but, you know, I hope he's saved. And he's not a Baptist, but, you know, what he told me, he went to the people and he said, what do y'all want me to preach on next? I said, Revelation. Okay, so we're preaching through Revelation. Do you know what... I'll think of his name in a minute. Through the Bible, man. What's his name? Preaching through the Bible. You know, he's dead now. What? J. Vernon McGee. Thank you, my memory. And J. Vernon McGee said this. He's telling one preacher, he said, I can tell people I'm going to preach on Revelation, the house will be full, but if I get down to preaching the Word of God, it thins them out. They don't even show up half the time. Crowd, please. I don't know about you, friend, but if you ever get called to preach, if you're the right kind of preacher, you'll be concerned about pleasing God, not man. I report to God, and I'll tell you this plainly. You don't know this. I don't report to you. I report to God. And you don't know that, and y'all are a good church. Crowd pleasers. Performers. You know, I preached yesterday at that meeting. Hardest people you'll ever preach to is preaching to your peers. Woo. I come home, I was so tired, I come home late, didn't even change my suit clothes. I just laid down in a chair and took about a 35-minute nap. I was wiped out. Crowd pleasers. What? You know, I preached on cheering people up, and Brother Munson said, Roger, you know, I was first, and I was so glad I was first. Get it done, get it over with. Munson got up and shut the corn. He said, Roger, cheered y'all up, And he didn't say it in these words. He says, I'm going to calm y'all down a little bit. Hey, by the way, he said, hey, concerning the preacher, he said, hey, if you was going to see the president of the United States of America, would you go in flip-flops and a tank top and a pair of shorts? No, you'd put a suit on if you've got any sense. Because we're before God today. We're before God. George W. Bush Before he would walk into the Oval Office, it didn't matter if it was in the middle of the night, he would get his suit on. One good thing about him, he would get his suit on, dress up before he went in there. Because he knew he was representing, you might as well say, a holy cause. Preacher, that's it. Used to be afraid to get up here. I mean, people wouldn't get touched. I've noticed some of y'all, I'd say, come on up here, you don't get right there. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Now they'll get some old gal up here to sing a solo and she'll stand right here. Hallelujah. There's a woman down there, Pensacola, Florida. I wish I remember. What's her name, Andrew? Bless her heart. Mina Ogilby. She's in one of them big tent dresses. Nothing wrong. I mean, a woman all dressed right, but she comes in a kimono or something. I had to put up with her at Tennessee Temple. I had to listen to her sing. We made fun of her. I mean, you know, I'm sorry. We made fun of her. She had control of the pulpit. And we was back there. She was thinking with, hallelujah, we was going to opera style. I said, maybe your style, but bluegrass is my style. When you get to heaven, Gabriel's going to lay his trumpet down and pick up a fiddle or a banjo. Performing. In the Old Testament, they had the choirs. And good. When I graduated from Temple up there, there was four or five choirs. I've never heard nothing like it. And they sung the Hallelujah Chorus. I'll never forget that in all my life. I thought I was in heaven. For one reason, they were singing. The next reason, I was about to be out of there. By the grace of God. And I'm not ashamed of any schooling I've ever had. But nothing wrong with practicing singing. You need to. I'm going to tell you what. Before somebody sings, they need to be able to sing. Okay? You don't need to sound like a calf that's whining for its mama. You know, I mean, really, really, right? You say, I can't sing. And I tell people, anybody can sing. And I'm stretching the truth a little bit because they can, but you might ought to hold it to the shower. Or until you're in the crowd. I'm so glad that Derek can sing so good. Amen. Who wants to take his job? Who wants to be the assistant? Derek, I'm trying to help you. But I'm going to tell you something. I can't see Paul or Amos saying, you know, there's going to come, behold the word of the Lord. The days are going to come when there's going to be a famine. I can't see Amos saying, let me get these words down right. Behold, saith the Lord, there's going to be a famine. Practice. Get it down right. Get in front of the mirror. You don't believe that happens? I know it does. But not with this old boy. You'd say, well, you can do some work in the mirror before you get on us. They go out in the woods and preach. Who to? The birds. They can't understand you. They practice preaching. You don't do that. Preachers, I know some famous preachers that's done it. Some of my friends have done it. You don't practice preaching. You just preach. You just preach. You believe that, don't you, David? You just preach. Preach the word of God. The time will come when somebody be looking for a preacher and they can't find him. And it's getting scarce. It's getting scarce. 1 Timothy chapter 4, for they will not endure sound doctrine. You know what sound doctrine is? It's the same thing like with food. It's good, wholesome food. They will not endure good, wholesome, spiritual, healthy preaching anymore. You know what they want? Junk food. They'll give you spiritual diabetes. They will give you a heart attack. They will give you cholesterol spiritually. They will put sugar in your brain. You'll lose your mind. They will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. I thought it was the teacher all the time scratching his ear, but what it is, the people said, give me some more, man. My ears are itching for some what? Fables. Stories. Story tales. Give me something I ain't never heard before. And they'll do that, but it won't be out of the Bible. The Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. Billy Connoy told me that preaching, Billy Connoy, one of the greatest, y'all remember Billy Connoy, he told me that preaching is saying the same thing in a different way over and over again. That's a good thought. The old story will never grow old. So it's not a performance. It's not practiced. It's just preaching. And nobody, I've heard it many, many times. I said this Sunday before last. Robert, I think Robert did a great job last Sunday. And those kids did too, didn't they? Yeah. Hey, we were packed out Monday. Remember at the dinner? It was packed out. There's close to 70 people here. I counted them. And the kids were here and they sung God Bless the USA. We had them back there. I got them back in the hall. They didn't know what was going to happen. How many heard that? Did some of y'all hear that? Y'all heard that, didn't you? Wasn't that good? And I just eased them in and lined them up when everybody was talking. I said, oh, wait a minute. And they, proud to be American. Without music, acapello, acapulco. I went to Guatemala and my real intelligent sister-in-law said, how was your trip to guacamole? What? Guacamole. She was serious. Pray for her. Pray for my brother. So, hey, preaching. And those kids got up and they sung. And I saw people crying, holding their hands up. And you know, I had Andrea and Katie back there to get it in the right key in the hallway, and they hit a note or two without a piano. Perfect. Lined up right there. By the way, I said, kids, listen. I said, let's let the adults go first when they get their food. Made the devil mad about that. Let the adults go first. Some of them are about to kick the bucket anyway. They need to at least get a last meal. Don't laugh on that. Some of y'all getting birthdays coming on you. And it's showing. It's showing. It's showing on base. Not performing. Not a comedy act. No. No. Hey. Preaching is the only thing that'll get the job done. You know what preaching will do? Preaching will plow. When you have a garden, my father-in-law and I both know a young man that wants to have a garden every year, but all he wants to do is get out there and put seed in the ground and then depend on somebody else to work it. Putting a seed in the ground is the easiest thing you'll do on having a garden. And then there's responsibility to it until the harvest is over, until you're sitting at the table eating it. There's work all the way through. We can for years. We had a garden. I had 80 rows, 150 foot long. I planted it all in one day many, many times. That's a big garden. Yeah, I think one reason Zachary is successful, and he is financially, I don't know how spiritually he is, but he's doing good, him and his wife, is because one year I said, okay, we raise watermelons. I mean, Lookout Mountain is watermelon country. You should done know that. I raised watermelons that I had to get a winch in my tractor to get them out of the garden. That's stretching the truth. other guy said he had to use a chainsaw to cut his open. So somebody's already got a bigger story. But I have no idea what that is. The devil. What is it? It's what? Oh, okay. Sorry. No problem. I thought it was my microphone. That is no problem. Don't you worry about that. I just thought the devil was trying to give me some interference. He's growling at me. Anyway, don't worry about that. I'm sorry. I'm embarrassed. So planting the seed is just the beginning. But you know what? You know what? You got to get that little plant come up, that young Christian, and then you got to cultivate. You know what cultivate means? It means to disturb the dirt in the rows and up next to the plant. Keep that soil turned, throw a little fertilizing in, and keep the weeds out. I've had my kids on their hands and knees. Martha Manley was at the house one day, and she saw our garden. She said, "That is the cleanest garden that I've ever seen in my life." Andrea has been on her hands and knees before. I said, "You got to get that okra. You got to thin it." And they're getting on here and pull it. And they pull up every little blade of grass. I hate grass. If it's in my garden, I love it. If it's in pasture, and I'm not too fond of it being in my yard. Do you know that I've been in farms in Cherokee County of old people? I'm talking, probably some, their folks were slaves. And I've been in their yards and not a blade of grass. It was a disgrace back then. It was like those people just don't take care of their place. There's grass in their yard. And they keep it hoed up and pulled up. You know why? One reason they didn't want to not be able to see snakes crawling across the ground. My grandma Johnson walked with her head down. She's just Indian, Cherokee Indian. She walked with her head down like that. Not because she had neck problems, because when she was a kid, they lived right down here in Johnson's Holler when she was married to Grandpa, and my mama walked her head down. My mama said she walks her head down because when she was a kid, they told her to watch for snakes, and she's been watching for them ever since. If you mention snake right now, I'll start looking around for one. And in the garden, if you let it get out of hand, you might get a copperhead on your hand. You know what preaching does? Thins out the weeds and the grass. That's what it does in your life and mine. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharp than any two-edged sword, piercing even dividing asunder the joints and marrow and the thoughts and the intents of the heart. When preaching takes place with the Word of God, not with a bunch of baloney, it gets down into you and does a spiritual operation that God wants to do in your life. It cuts away anything that shouldn't be in there. And you ought to thank God for the Word of God right now and what it does in your life. So preaching, they plow. Plant, First Peter, I believe it is, 5:8 or something like that. Being born again, by what? By the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. You got born again by somebody preaching the Word of God to you. Incorruptible seed. That means that's forever. It ain't gonna never rot. Your salvation is just as fresh and new as it was the day you got saved. But we cover it up sometimes because there ain't been enough plowing in our life. Not enough spiritual operation. Cleanses. Hey, what it says, Jesus said, "Now you're clean by the washing of the water of the Word." Clean by the washing of the water of the Word. It has an effect that you don't even know what's happening when you expose yourself to the preaching of the Word of God. It's a cleansing effect. Like if you get hooked up to an IV, you don't know what's happening. I mean, you don't know what's happening in your body system, and if they're putting something in there you need, medicine, sedative, or some kind of food that goes through your veins. Robert's mother was on that intravenously. She didn't eat nothing or drink nothing for 5 days. I saw her yesterday. I preached on God will turn your feast, your fast into a famine. I preached on that before here, and with Mary, with cheerfulness and joy. And you know what? After service, she said, "I just fasted for 5 or 7 days." Now she's on a liquid diet. But in other words, the Word of God has a nurturing effect, and it has a cleansing effect as you expose yourself to the preaching of the Word of God. There's so much here. Let me move along. It's the only thing that'll get the job done. Years ago, when I was just maybe 19 or 20 years old, there was a preacher that came to White's Chapel. Philip Ellen was a friend of mine. He's dead and gone now, but he sort of straddled the fence with Independence and Southern Baptist Convention. And he had a preacher down here, a well-known national preacher, and he got up in the pulpit and he said, "Preaching will not get the job done anymore." And I wanted to say, "Well, why are you doing it? Why don't you do what gets the job done?" You know what? In the 60s, I'm going to not get these numbers exactly right. Now, you listen very carefully. In the 60s, the Southern Baptist Convention said we're going to win 2,000 or 20,000 this year. And they did win them. They got them coming to church. But now they're reaping what they're sowed. And what they sowed was people that had a profession without a confession. They were unsaved people. And now they're in the churches. And now you see what's happening. Whatever Bible you want to use, however you want to dress. Oh, we believe in standards here. We believe in dressing right. And I thank and honor these ladies for dressing right when they come to the church of God. They're reaping what they sowed. You say, "Yeah, they're big." That's right. They are big. And we're little. You're right. I'm not a bit jealous. Because I stand before God. I don't stand before a local missionary, whether a convention missionary up here in center. They say, "We're having an executive meeting of all the pastors." Executive meeting. Execution. You know, that means execute. Execute a plan. They all move together. They all do the same thing together. You know the difference? Independent, we just do what we want to do. We don't call the next church and ask them if it's okay. We do something. Because there's one pastor under one head and one body, and that's the way we operate. We don't get together and try to soften the message to please the people. That's just where we are and who we are. And I'm proud to be here. When I was gone for 19 days, somebody said, "So you're a pastor?" And I said, "Well, I was when I left. I don't know. Robert may be the new pastor when he's back." So, preaching. What does it do? It plows. It prunes. You're not bearing fruit, preaching will prune you. Cut things out of your life where you can bear fruit. Jesus said, "I'm sending you forth to bear fruit." Much fruit, little fruit, no fruit. What did he say? What did Jesus say about that? He said, those that are not bearing fruit, he cuts them, throws them to the fire. In other words, they're gone. They're done for. Not hell, but just useless. Bear fruit. Now, let me. There's another P here. And it's personal. When a preacher preaches the Word of God, it's to the whole audience. But some people take it very personal because it's hitting them where it's hitting them where they hurt. It's hitting them where they need it. Why not? A spiritual MRI. Is that what they call an MRI when they put you in that capsule like they're going to send you to space? I've been in one a couple of times. Take all the metal out of your pockets. You know, I got in there. I had a fever, shave cut or something on my lip. First one I went in, they played rock music to me. I liked to went crazy. Kathy had one, they called me back and said, you need to get in here with your wife. I thought she'd done shipped out. She said, she wants you to hold her hand while this happens. She's got her hand stuck out. I'm holding her hand. I said, this is crazy. I got in there a second time. They said, music preference, gospel bluegrass. I was asleep in there. I went to sleep on. You ever been in one? And they put them earphones on you. You can still hear it a little bit, but I'm hearing that bluegrass, and I go, sound to sleep. And when I was asleep, I guess I'm down like that. Oh, blood. I didn't even know it. Hello. That fella said he's been doing it for 25 years. You know, they slide you out of there or whatever. I'm asleep. Oh, he says, hey, you okay? I went, I'm on fire. And there's blood coming. He said, I thought you was dead. He said, I've been doing this 25 years. This ain't never happened. He was shook up. Spiritual. Is that what you call it? Is that what they call that big thing, an MRI? If you ain't crazy before you get in one, you'll be slapped crazy. Whatever. Everything in your body shows up some way. I don't know. And it's magnetized, I think. And that's why if you got a watch on, pull it right off of you. A ring, you'll lose a finger. That's what God does to us. And let me tell you something. You've always heard that. One pointing up, one pointing at you, three pointing back at me. I preach to myself all the time. If it don't help me, why in the world should I think it would help you? That's right. That's exactly right. Preach with power, with purpose, with a plan. Preach it plain, intelligibly. I don't care if a preacher runs his mouth 90 miles an hour. I don't care if he slobbers and spits and hollers. I don't care if he's monotone, just so I can understand what he's saying. Hear the words intelligibly. You can take that with, and you can think about that with purpose, plan, plain. Who we preach? We preach Jesus. The person of Jesus Christ to people, all the people. Hey, I don't know. I left my phone down there cut off for a purpose, my clock, my watch. What do you call that thing? My telephone. Because I didn't want to care what time it was. But I'm stopping right here. I'm stopping here. And I'm going to say, you know what a Calvinist is, don't you? The Calvinist doctrine says that that Jesus Christ only died for the elect. Let me tell you, it's something called the tulip theory. Has anybody ever heard of the tulip theory on Calvinism? There's 5 points of Calvinism. Somebody will say, well, I'm just a 3-pointer, I'm a 2-pointer, I'm a 1-point, or I'm a 5-point. You better be careful with the 5 points. T, total depravity of man, totally incapable of saving himself. You agree with that? You, unconditional election. What does that mean? That means that God didn't look through time and see that you was going to choose him, so he decided he was going to be one he was going to save. Unconditional. We're not saved on any conditions other than we were just lost sinners. God didn't look at us and say, well, he'll be a good one. I'll save him. Unconditional election, which means that, and the teaching is that before the foundation world, he saw you and he saw you would be a good candidate and you would believe him if you could hear the gospel. He knew that. But he didn't make that choice for you. You don't have a free will. You have a will. And the will is to choose God or not choose him. You don't have nothing in between. Third one's problem with me, limited atonement. Limited atonement means this. that Jesus' blood was only sufficient to save the elect, the ones he chose. That's right out of hell. Limited atonement is a doctrine that's right out of hell. Jesus' blood can make the violent sinner whole. He died for the whole world. His blood is sufficient to save the whole world. Limited atonement is a doctrine out of hell. I got the P mixed up. I'll save that for last. I is irresistible grace. Irresistible grace. That what they mean when they preach that is that when you have an opportunity, if you're going to be one of the elect, you're going to get saved whether you want to or not. You can't resist. I know the week I got saved, Saturday night I got saved, I'd listened to preaching all week at a revival, and I was under so much conviction when I was 14 years old, I thought I was going to die. God was convicting me. And I could have rejected, though, irresistible grace. Stephen said to those people that stoned him, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. But they've turned it into a doctrine that says you can't resist. And then the P means the perseverance of the saints will continue. And you know what that means? Once you're saved, you'll never deny the truth of Jesus Christ. That don't mean you'll just keep working and working to finally get to heaven. Perseverance of the saints, on my interpretation, they'll say something different, is that you will never deny Jesus Christ. You'd have your head cut off before you would say, I don't believe in Jesus Christ anymore. The Holy Ghost is in you. The seed remaineth in you, is what John said, and it cannot sin. You see what preaching does for you? One thing, it gets your attention about your life. Another thing, it draws you to a conclusion to do something about it. Let's stand. Thank you for your attention. I appreciate that. We bow for a moment of prayer. Father, thank you for the good word of God, how it helps me. Here it is. I love the old Bible. If you know it, you can look this way. I love the old Bible. Precious old Bible, light to my pathway it gives. It makes me so humble, ever so humble. God's wonderful book, divine. Let's sing it. I love the old Bible, precious old Bible, light to my pathway it gives, and it makes me so happy, ever so happy. God's wonderful book, divine. Y'all just come and give God thanks. If you need to get things right, and say, thank God for the Bible. Well, I love the old Bible, precious old Bible, light to my pathway it gives, and it makes me so happy, ever so happy. God's wonderful book, divine. Though the cover's torn and the pages are worn, and there's places that bear traces of tears, yet more precious than gold is this book worn and old. It can scatter and shatter my fears. To this book I will cling. Of this worth I will sing, though great crosses and losses be mine. For I cannot despair, though surrounded by care, while possessing this blessing divine. You ought to thank God today, from where you are in this altar, for having one day heard the preaching of the Word of God that saved your soul. And you ought to thank God for what it does to you, and it keeps you clean, and it helps you bear fruit, and it feeds you. You need to do that today in whatever manner, in this altar, wherever you are. Save the lost. If anybody's lost, save the lost, I pray. Bless your people in Jesus' name.